we're on.
Blog Talk Radio. It is Rosie Wall and Clara Gibson from Dark Ramsgate at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's nearly the shortest day of the year.
What a spectacular day that is. It's a winter solstice, isn't it, Clara?
And Rosie's birthday.
Oh, gosh, 36. I can't believe it. I'm so ancient.
Poor Clara is just recovering from the most hideous cold flu episode.
Yes, and I've recovered.
And I'm holding her back with one arm so I don't catch anything. But we've got something with us today. We've stolen them off Clara's dear pet, Wesley. And we've decided that, putting aside the Christmas jingles that you might be accustomed to hearing, mm-hmm. we're going to use this toy to cheer us, support us, at every heightened moment of this broadcast.
Hooray! And poor old Wesley, little darling Wesley, is very upset because he hears this sound and he keeps standing on his back legs and putting his paws on my desk so that he can actually try and grab his toys that have been whipped out of his Christmas stocking. Are we not so mean?
We are very mean indeed. In fact, he was successful only a moment ago. I was racing around Clara's living room trying to grapple with him to get it back off him. But nevertheless, we are here today to explore the concept.
Oh, the blessings.
Do you think they're blessings?
Laughter.
They are a blessing.
Laughter. Right, can I just
or
ask
is it
you?
A skill to be able to...
Oh, be free to laugh.
To be free to laugh.
Well, but that's for your kids. Can I just ask you about in the classroom?
Yes.
If your children have laughter in their lessons, do they actually learn better than...
What a fascinating question, and I love it because I can answer this so directly. Yes, the best kind of learning is through comedy, but I would say that through theatre and the odd moment of bringing it off the page in English, that is where the keenest connections are made. People want to feel connected through laughter, through hilarity, through moments.
Can you teach maths with comedy?
Every subject is cross-curricular.
What, even physics?
Even physics.
Are you serious? Because I can remember when I was doing physics at school, on my school report, I actually had Do Not Give Up Hope Yet as a comment from my physics teacher.
What a brilliant... You'd never be able to write that now. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, the fun the teachers must have had back then.
Absolutely.
Do not give up hope yet.
Yes.
But anyway, we're going to focus today on those moments of hilarity that are actually really critically important for our mental and physical well-being.
Yeah, because did you know?
No, I did not, Clara. What?
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
You didn't know. So, actually, one.
Yes, tell us.
Our unconscious mind doesn't know whether we're laughing genuinely or not.
Now, tell me a bit about that, because I don't... That's you with your MSc and all your
nursing
stuff.
Well, whatever, so you don't need to...
No, I'm just dropping that in. I like to name drop. I like to... So you need to break that down for me. What do you mean?
Because our unconscious mind doesn't know really whether we're telling facts or fictions. So if we're laughing, our brain and our body just accept the fact that that was funny.
Yes.
And actually will change our biochemical system to the benefit, and so it boosts our immune system. It actually jollies up having a really good laugh.
So it will change my biochemicals.
It would change your biochemicals.
Oh, I'm looking to having my biochemicals
change.
Oh,
and actually, it will massage all your cells. Ooh. For vibrations.
Right.
So actually, it's really, really, really beneficial. And there are people who've cured themselves from cancer with just laughing. And that's actually in... there's a man, I believe his name was Robin Cousins, And he so inspired various doctors that actually in many hospitals, started off in the States and then actually crept around the world, have actually laughter trolleys.
Oh, and wow, so actually, I love that idea. You can stop on a trampoline and then have all this going on.
And
yeah.
Clowns.
Woo!
And so you can actually just heal yourself
with
laughter.
I love it.
So isn't that a lovely idea? And you see, if you're feeling terribly miserable, there is nothing better than when you just get switched to something really, really
brilliant.
Funny.
Let's do some sharing. Right now, just that idea of being really miserable and then something happening that switches it right round. So comedy or hilarity actually assists you at moments of crisis.
Yes.
I got home on Friday after school and I was really down. I was really depressed. The whole concept of Christmas having to be jolly because there's a responsibility to the children as well, you know. And I sat there and I had this temporary gloom. A glooming peace this morning brings, as Shakespeare says.
Blimey.
Well, something like that. And I sat on the sofa and I thought, I don't know whether I'm happy today or not. You know, I'm struggling badly.
Oh,
and slowly out of the corner of my eye, an empty paper bag crept its way across the floor. It wasn't a poltergeist, it was my dear kitten inside a paper. And that to me, and I just creased up.
Did
it was lovely, it was one of those moments.
Creased up almost as much as the paper bag.
Indeed. Because they're very corporeal creatures, cats, and they enjoy every sensory experience.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been watching them, and I think that's actually quite important to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
As you slink through life. Well, tell us about what a funny experience that's tickled your knee bone.
Oh, tickled my knee bone. It was a school one, actually.
Yeah.
And the whole school, it was in secondary school, the whole school was in the hall for assembly. And at that point, we used to have, in the school that we were then in, the headmaster's platform was two platforms that were pushed together.
Don't say, did he fall through?
He had. Oh, we had those metal chairs with the rungs that went round from back to front.
Oh, yeah.
We'd have a left and right rung going from back to front. And somebody, and you didn't know until the poor man sat on it, strategically had placed one of the rungs in the crevice between the two. So he sat on the chair and the chair just forced the platforms apart. And the poor man actually just disappeared with his feet in the air.
Oh,
and everybody was just...
What teacher's that to put up with?
And it was so funny. And he had to sort of like get up and his teachers, you know, his members of staff were trying to keep their faces serious, you know, so that they could be sort of suitably helping their head up, you know. And, it was just, it really was very, 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 very funny. But there are some other things as well. I know that once I fell down the escalators, a heel broke on my shoes. I was actually on my way to an audition. And I was running down something like one of the Piccadilly line escalators, and they're really long.
Oh, they are horrific.
Stairs.
Oh, they're ghastly.
And I missed, and I just suddenly went splat on my backside, and I really, all of the air had been just sort of like blasted out of my lungs, and I thought I'd died for a moment. And there was a man right down at the very bottom of the escalator with his little boy. And they had both seen this, but it was really slapstick. I mean, it really was so slapstick. So whilst I was actually thinking that I'd died, there were these two faces that were in sort of like coming ever closer to me. And they really were, they were very sweet. They were sort of really struggling hard to actually not burst into hysterical laughter.
Once they knew that you were okay.
Yes, but it was so fun. It really was. There are so many things like that.
I've got to tell you one about... I've got a friend who shall remain nameless, but she wouldn't mind me mentioning this. She went on a track. She used to go travelling a lot and wear these great earthy, elasticated, waisted skirts.
Okay.
With sometimes bells on the end, you know, that kind of thing. And she was on a long haul trip, and suddenly the car breaks down on the side of a very massive motorway. So she pulls over, and she thinks, "Oh gosh, what am I to do?" And she sees that there is a help telephone box on the other side of the motorway, like just a few hundred feet away. Whereas on her side, it would be back 2 miles. So she thinks,
oh my God, no.
Oh, you know what I'm going to do? Honestly, there's not much traffic. I'm going to chance it. So she hops and she skips across the first side of her side of the motorway. And she puts one leg over the girder that's dividing the motorway sides, and then the other leg over. But as she does it, a huge gust of wind comes along with a car coming the other way and whips off her elasticated skirt.
Oh, she's got no knickers on.
She's now standing in the middle of a motorway. Yeah, in the middle of nowhere in her knickers.
Oh, right. At least she's got knickers on.
So it's one of those things, isn't it? You've just you've got to go with the flow.
Well, actually, I have one a bit like that.
Oh, good.
And when I was a student nurse and we were in the nursing school, I had a shared elastic dress. And I was renowned for running my timing incredibly fine. And I was running for the only bus that would get me into nursing school on time. And as I was running along, I caught my foot on my maxi dress, which then fell down to my waist.
I love it. It's so
just as the bus drew up, there was me, 20 years old, completely stark bollock naked, waist upwards. And I just had to sort of like pull it up and actually get on the bus. And
hey,
as though nothing had happened. Oh, it was really funny. And then another one of Heather, my friend Heather, and if my friend Roger Williams is listening, he may well remember this. And we lived in bedsits, and we just had really ancient little gas fires. They would never be passed. I'm sure carbon monoxide poisoning was just part of our lives, but the windows were so badly fitting that we had...
Welcome, Jo Walton.
She might not be. She might not be.
Okay.
She's not listening
to
the Skype.
All right.
So later.
Later. Right.
But if you're listening,
hi, we love you.
We love you too. So anyway, she had lit her gas fire with her match and then just threw the lit match into her waste paper basket, which promptly just burst into flames. So she opened her balcony windows and actually put out the flaming basket before realising that she had no clothes on.
Yeah.
Now, Roger Williams, who was a trombonist across the other side of the road, he actually thought it was looking out and he saw her. And he went, with his trombone across the road.
And
it was really
woman
funny.
Shrouded with flames behind her. Well, I'm going to throw one in because we thought we saw Jo Walton online there, but I've got a wonderful memory with Jo and her sister Emma. We were in Budapest and we went into a really cool nightclub, but we got lost all and separated.
Oh,
but we found ourselves backing into the same room at kind of the same time. And we said, we turned around and said, oh, how lovely to see you. And it was one of those rooms you get in clubs where there's UV light.
Oh, right.
So all we could see were our giant chattering white teeth.
Yeah.
And we couldn't, it's one of those, you know, you had to be there moments, but we could not stop laughing
for literally
10 minutes. And I physically thought I was going to pass out from the
laughing. Oh, really?
You know, you can't stop. And those moments actually are just so rare and so precious, and they will stay with me forever.
Yeah, but that's what we were saying earlier, wasn't it? That you can actually just sort of like remember various things, you know, that have really made you laugh.
That's right.
And you still, I mean, I can remember some jokes that were told to me, and actually they're not clean enough to be able to tell over the air.
Yes.
But actually, I can remember being told them, and I can remember just absolutely roaring with laughter about them. And there's some, it's just glorious. It really is so freeing to have such hilarity.
The critical thing about, I mean, look, last episode we were going to talk about things that were, you know, we tried to connect the episodes. And I think it's really important that we link this concept of hilarity or the capacity to turn dark things light.
Yeah.
Into a really important theme, because life is really hard. It really, the administration of life, the organisation of life, everything that you need to put into your everyday is really quite tough. But if you, no matter what happens to you, and certainly at points of crisis, if you can turn to those moments and try out of the depths of some darkness sometimes to find a shred of humour, it really can lift you and support you.
But also my one tip in that would be to actually not to change the word hard and tough and rough, and actually
with life. But
with
you,
life.
But you know, we think differently on this, don't we? You know, Clara uses such positive, wonderful language in that way. Being an actress and being an artist, we're always going to have this slight difference in the way we
do it. Yeah, but I wouldn't describe myself.
Quite artistic.
Yeah, but I've acted for my living for 6 years.
We all act every single day of our lives.
No, but we do that, you know. And I would say that I have to be creative with people endlessly to help them to see differently, to actually describing life to being tough and rough. You see what I mean? So if I can actually...
I'm sorry, life is always tough and rough.
You can hang on to that, and that's a belief. But the belief is only what you tell yourself. And it's very interesting, you see, how... I mean, there are people who can experience, you know, be in exactly the same situation and experience life, that same situation, very, very differently. You know, and it's really very interesting, but because we're talking about humour, I won't really take you down. But you could look at the Viktor Frankl stuff as to actually how some people survive very well.
Tell us who Viktor Frankl is.
Viktor Frankl was a psychiatrist who was incarcerated in the concentration camps. And he found it very, very interesting how it was that some people survived
and were buoyant and were adaptable,
and others actually just died within the system.
Yeah.
And for him, it was what he recognised, and I would say that it's, you know, it falls in with so many other sort of teachings of different forms of psychotherapy.
But that doesn't
make actually
the fact
seeing
life
seeing
is
something
difficult,
beyond.
Life is difficult.
No,
that,
but
that's
actually
the point.
They found
but
a
how
meaning.
You find a way to deal with it. That's
but
the whole point.
Well, yes, but it's actually you can spend your life focusing on how hard it is, or you can actually.
I agree. I completely understand that you need to focus on what is positive
because every situation. But everybody does have tragedies in their lifetime.
Indeed.
They all experience
and that's the question
different things. But it is the way that you choose to focus on it
that
will actually enable you to even see
I
the humour.
We've got to see,
you know, because sometimes it's not...
humour. Because if you don't... Well,
that's why you actually have ambulance workers and people like that who actually do have, you know, remarkable sense of humour.
Yes,
when in fact they and I remember that, I mean, there were times when working in very difficult circumstances with, you know, families with children who were dying. And the nurses, amongst us, we actually did have a very dark sense of humour.
Mm.
And you would find the most, you know, I mean, remarkably minute things that were things that were really funny. And there were parents who also could laugh, even though
they were in the midst
of the most ghastly horrors.
Horrible.
But they would actually, in a way,
it's
just a light
connection.
Relief, isn't
it's
it?
It's the connection as well. We talked about this just before coming on air. And that connection with other human beings that you get through laughter is so important as well, isn't it? I laugh to myself like a mad thing at home.
So do I. I mean, I can just,
you know,
something. And I even just little things can actually just make me...
It's just great. Yes. Laughing is fabulous. We adore it.
Yeah.
But the importance of that connection to the world through laughter is really important, especially I think if you're going through a difficult time, if you're going through a problematic time in your personal or professional life, take yourself off to see some stand-up.
Yes.
You know.
Or go on YouTube and look up Fawlty Towers.
I mean, we've touched on this before, haven't we? We also wanted to jam in today's episode the importance of how wonderful pets are. I hate that word, pets, you know. But our animals in our lives and how they make us laugh, how important they are to our well-being because they are hysterical.
They are.
So I wish you could have seen Wesley racing around the room earlier trying to get his squeaky bone.
Yes.
I mean, he was quite a picture. But make sure that you surround yourself with the kind of energies that are positive enough to make you laugh.
A bit like sometimes, have your kittens actually yet seen themselves in a mirror for the first time?
Yes, one of them has.
She, and they sort of go up and they go,
they're doing that thing at the moment where they're running from across the room. This is Maud and Margot, my kittens. They're running from across the room and jumping into the air and then twisting as they're in the air. You know, amazing. And then landing. And then my two chihuahuas are looking on as though they do not know what's hit them. But just watching the chihuahuas watching them is hysterical. Hours of entertainment. I suppose we shouldn't. But I know that the cats are actually performing for me.
Oh, yeah. So. Yes. But do you judge them?
I do.
ten out of ten.
Dancing then,
aren't they?
They are dancing,
yes.
Indeed. Yes.
Yes, it is very, very. There are all sorts of things that are just so funny. I can remember once this boyfriend I had at the time, and there was this woman walking along, tottering on exceptionally high heels.
I'm laughing already.
And she started running for some reason or other. And her knees and her ankles and her hips were all going in opposite directions. And I think actually then she sort of like ran straight into a lamppost or something like that, I'm afraid. The pair of us just absolutely were, I mean, it was just too funny, really. I mean, things like that just are so, so funny.
Well, we talked last week about the management of thought and how you can organise your thoughts into recall and bring back all these wonderful memories.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important to continually try to conjure these wondrous times.
Oh, but yes, they're food, aren't they? It's sort of nourishment.
You can make use of them over and over again.
Yes,
they're
comedians,
out there.
But comedians do.
They
anyway,
do.
They
do conjure the... Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's what they do for a living.
That is what they do. And actually, if you think about it, they have a script pretty much that they roll out time and time and time again and make people laugh again and again and again. And it's really is funny, really.
So physiologically, it is useful to us in that way, the actual process of laughing. Psychologically, it's useful to us.
Mm-hmm.
But what if, I mean, there are these, you know, I'm only throwing this in because I like to be devil's advocate, but what if you focus on trying to be too lighthearted or too humorous to try and avoid the realities of a difficult time in life? Maybe then you just become a little bit, I suppose, false with yourself and others.
Well, but the interesting thing about sort of laughter, there are things called laughter yoga and stuff like the laughter.
Oh yeah, tell us about laughter yoga. What is that?
Well, it's about harnessing the power of being able to laugh and laughing for the benefits of laughing. You know, so as an actress, you know, you can go and if you keep doing that, actually, you will start laughing to the point.
I could never laugh on stage. I could never laugh or cry.
Oh, really? But whether it's off on stage or off stage,
yes.
You know that you could now actually start making a sort of theatrical.
Such a great laugh.
And
I love
if you kept going with it, you would actually end up just laughing.
Yes, I suppose that's true. Yes.
You know, and once you start doing that...
The neighbours are going to think I'm crazy.
Good.
There's me, there's the kittens, there's the dogs, and a crazy woman just laughing on the other side of the wall.
Well, they could just be envious. Because there's something wonderful about people who just so easily laugh.
Yes.
You know.
That is true. And I have to say, despite having the deepest, darkest of souls, whenever people meet me, they say, oh, gosh, you're so jolly. And I think, God, am I really?
Like, yes, but then that's a bit like the thing that comedians need.
You're so positive.
Need,
is, am I really?
Is that actually... yes, you live inside your head, you see.
Oh, I suppose that's
you
true.
See.
Yes.
But the wonderful thing is that laughter is culturally non-specific.
Ah, we touched on
we
it.
Did,
oh,
didn't
Clara,
we?
Do tell us. Do tell us.
Well, first of all, the thing is that everybody laughs, regardless of whether you speak the same language or whether you're from the same part of the world or not. But the first time I was really aware of this was listening into a wonderful radio program, and this man, who was in fact a comedian, I think, anyway, he was often on programs that made lots of people laugh, Derek Nimmo.
Derek Nimmo, yeah.
Yes.
He's a gentle comedian.
He's a gentleman.
And a gentleman, indeed.
And he was being asked, or he was recounting a story of his being at the seaside in Spain with his family. And his little child, who was very young at the time, had said, why are those people talking funny? And he had said, it's because they're German.
That's their call. Yes.
And the little child then said, but they laugh in English.
Oh,
and that's so sweet.
That's so lovely.
But
I love that story.
But it's so true.
Yes.
Because you just hear laughter and it makes no odds.
It is universal
to our
species.
Yes.
Our genus. Is that right?
I don't know. Yes,
is
but
that
actually, right? I don't know whether animals laugh or not.
Do aliens laugh?
I have no idea.
Oh, God. What a lovely thought. Oh.
Well, they might be laughing at us.
Yes, I
know
that.
They're
too.
Probably sides. Their sides are splitting.
Talking into a metal frame and laughing as they do it.
And they've all wet their knickers.
Oh, dear.
So, you know, laughter is just, it's something that's wonderful to share, isn't it?
If you've got it, pass it on. If
yes.
you feel a tiny hint of it, ring someone. My latest thing with my dearest, bestest friends in the entire history of the world is to WhatsApp them, and I just leave cheesy, happy messages for them to pick up, as they do me. And it's ever so quick, and you can stay in continuous contact with those you love just by sending the most ridiculous voicemail messages that make each other laugh. And I can't tell you what a wondrous thing that is in my life. I would put it down as one of the greatest reasons to be alive at the moment.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah.
Really?
The use of every time you see something funny. For example, we were talking about, you know, what moments did you find funny with your friends just before we came on air. And one of them was... the other day, it was just so dreadful thing to admit it. I'll admit it. But my friend and I, she will remain nameless, but we went through Facebook and picked out all the ugliest brides we could possibly find. Is that unkind? That's really unkind. And we couldn't stop laughing. And so we kept sending each other these voice messages about it. And every time we picked up these messages, we were creasing up.
Oh, yeah.
It was unkind, but because it was slightly cruel, it was hysterical.
Yeah.
So WhatsApp each other, have a good laugh. No one knows about it. You can do whatever you like. Just don't be unkind to others.
Yes. Or let them know.
Directly, not directly.
Yes.
And just enjoy each other's good humour.
Yes, and hunt out things to make you
not
laugh.
Just ugly brides.
Not just ugly brides. Go and look up funny animal things, because some of the funny animal things, and the fails, those YouTube
Who
fails.
Who gets married in Lime Green? That's all I'm saying. All right, okay.
In Lime Green, is there a place called Lime Green, or was that the colour? So, yes. So, in the meantime, we wish you...
a Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
We might
fit one in between that. Oh, yes.
Goodbye, everybody.
So, have a lovely time. And
we hope it's stuff. full of all the right things, even if some of them are a little slightly inappropriate.
Yes.
Like, of course, Christmas pudding.
And I do hope that Father Christmas doesn't get stuck in your chimney.
Oh, I say, Clara.
Bye-bye.
Bye.